G'day and welcome back to episode 5 of Who Watches Us, the podcast where we watch the movies, but who watches us?
Who watches us?
Exactly. I'm Brendan and I'm joined by my brother Alex, and this week we've got a bit of a special one. We've got a special guest. Do you want to introduce yourself, special guest?
Hey everyone. Thanks for having me on the potty, Brendan and Alex. I am their brother-in-law.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That's Matt, by the way. he's been a good friend of mine for, it's coming up to 10 years now.
Look, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a long time. But yeah, very, very blessed to say that Matt is now my brother-in-law. So yeah, it's bloody beautiful, isn't it?
It's terrific.
It's a bloody beautiful story, that one.
Before we get stuck into things, how was your week, boys?
Do you want to go first, Matt?
Look, it's been pretty active. Picked up a few extra shifts at work, you know, getting into it, leading in the lead up to Christmas.
Mm. Yeah, for sure.
Making them cash dollars.
Mm. Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
What about you,
Alex? I've had a pretty lax week. Been playing a lot of Bloodborne. I beat the game, like... like 10 minutes before we watched the movie. where was I? Sorry about that. Technical difficulties. Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Bloodborne. Great game. Finished it today. Fucking beautiful.
Nice.
Been staying on the workouts.
Okay.
Staying, trying to do that.
Yeah, I gotta get my cheeky little grubby little hands on Bloodborne.
It's a good game.
Yeah, I don't have a PlayStation though.
Matt's been watching me play it. I live with Matt, by the way. Bit of context, bit of podcast lore there. Yeah. I live with Matt.
Cheeky bit of lore.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure. It's been a pleasure coming home from work and just enjoying dinner and watching Alex get through Bloodborne. Mostly successful, but you know, it's Bloodborne.
Oh, yeah.
Alex is just really bad at the game.
successful is a bit of a stretch. I die a lot.
Watching him play at Elden Ring is. It's a joy.
You know, Bloodborne might be my game day because I'm way too aggressive in Elden Ring, but this game you need to be aggressive.
Yeah, it's encouraged.
So yeah, clocked it. 30 yeah. hours in, or 29. Still got to play the DLC though, so I'll be buying that
very shortly. Nice. Very nice. Yeah.
You can hear more about that next week.
How was my week? Gosh, golly gosh, what did I do? I was sick. I think I was sick last week. So yeah, I was just recovering from that. Got better. And then was getting back into the exercise grind. And I was mowing my lawns and I hurt my back.
Yeah, I heard about this.
Yeah, so I've been injured for the past couple of days. Apparently I slipped a disc in my lower back. So yeah.
Silly boy, you yeah, didn't
it's,
do your,
it's been a bit uncomfortable.
You didn't do your pre-lawn mowing stretches.
Yeah, it was a bit of a oversight. You know, once you turn 30, I guess you got to start doing these things. But
yeah,
I went for a walk like yesterday for about 5 minutes, and I had to come back and ice my shins because my shin splints were crazy.
I'm not excited to become 30. It sounds horrible.
It's bloody coming, isn't it?
It's coming. I've got a little bit of time, but it's going to get there way too fast.
Yeah, bloody approaches.
Mm-mm-mm.
Cool. So, what movie did we just watch, boys?
We watched I Am Mother.
We sure did.
On Netflix.
Sure did.
You know who was directing this movie? I don't.
I do. I had it open before, and now I have it open again. So this is directed by Grant Spitore. I don't know how to say this guy's name. And it's starring Rose Byrne. I guess you could say Luke Hawker because I think he was the dude in the suit. And then also starring Clara Rugard. She played Daughter.
And was a dude in a suit? Which guy?
I think Mother, like the robot.
Oh,
it's like a dude like in a suit. It's not an actual robot. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And Hilary Swank is also in this movie. So Rose Byrne did the voice of Mother.
Hilary Swank was in it?
Yeah.
She was
the woman. She's the woman, yeah. She's named Woman in
You know what? I did not think that Hilary Swank looked like that.
Yeah, I've only ever heard her name. I had no idea what she looked like.
Yeah.
I only know her name because of the one Joey Badass song. Great song.
Okay.
Great song, by the way.
Yeah, I think it was the same situation. I've like heard her name before, but I could never put the face to the name. Oh, right off the top, we should probably probably do this. I think we're going to forget to do this occasionally, but we're going to give a spoiler warning. We're going to go deep into like the actual plot of this movie. I was going to say lore. I was like, this isn't lore. But we're going to talk about the plot pretty extensively. Yeah. So you have been warned.
There's your warning.
Absolutely. So I want to hear from the guest. Matt, what did you think of this movie?
I liked it.
I
thought it was a little slow to begin with. But look, I've got some great notes ready to go here. something interesting, I don't know if I should mention it now or sort of a bit later on in the potty when, because I'm sure it will come up, so I might leave it till then. But like straight off the bat, I started laughing because it was, it opens up and it's in a hallway and it's explaining like the facility or what it is. Facility is called Unu Hawk or something like that. Now, my brain rot instantly thought like Huck Tua repopulation facility.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Oh,
no. And then I was distracted for about 5 minutes thinking of that other terrific podcast by a similar name.
Yeah, that podcast is great.
Yeah.
We can't escape it.
you can't get away from it.
We just cannot escape it. I thought you were going to go somewhere different with that. I thought you were going to go in the Fallout direction since you're a little
a
Fallout fanboy.
Yeah, 100%. No, that's definitely in there. Like, that's what the movie vibes were sort of giving me. Like, yeah. Like, you get introduced to this facility. Even the opening of like when she eventually does, you know, do the thing, opens the door. It's very Fallout reminiscent.
Mm. Yeah.
Mm. I never actually put that together, but yeah, that's a good way to describe kind of the aesthetic a bit. A little less rusty, more clean, more pristine, but definitely along those lines, 100%.
Yeah, like, a bit more modern as well.
Did it say what year? I might have missed that.
I think I missed it too.
I don't think it did say the year.
Well, it said...
It just said
along the lines. Okay. Yeah, it said 13,867 days or something since extinction. So I'll just assume it's present day and however many years it is past that, maybe.
Yeah, I probably should. Or maybe. I probably should have looked that up because, like, I assume Daughter, one of the few characters of this is like round about like 15, 16, maybe 17.
Yeah.
But yeah, since they gave us like the amount of, was it days? Days since extinction? Like I actually wonder how many years that is. And then, yeah, we do get into this, like those years don't really match up with her age. But
yeah, because I did see Alex counting on his little fingies, but I'm not sure how successful how successful he was with that.
No, I couldn't do it. I'm terrible at math and times tables. So I was like, well, it's basically like 3 years per 1,000 days. And then I was trying to count on my fingers and I just gave up.
Ran out of fingers.
I just put 13,000 divided by 365, and it's 35 years.
Okay. Yeah, I looked it up, and it says near future. Well, that's the AI overview from Google. Also, this AI Google stuff sucks, not going to lie.
Yeah, it does.
Quick side note while we're on the topic of like robots in this movie.
Yeah.
The AI Google shit, I thought Google used to be good. You could type something up and be pretty much right all the time.
Mm-hmm.
The AI thing is just wrong, like, consistently. You notice that?
No, I don't use it very much. Take that, Google.
Would it almost be safe to estimate that it's possibly around where we live right now, like 2020, because if it's 30 odd years and they were still, she was watching Johnny Carson replays on her iPad thing. I think he was televised up until like the late 80s, and then that's when Letterman sort of like took the reins.
True.
Yeah, I'm really not sure.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the near future, very advanced, way more advanced robots than what we have now, so.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just leave it at that. Otherwise, we could discuss this for a long time.
So what did you think of the movie, Alex?
I liked it. It wasn't, it's definitely not my favorite movie I've ever seen, I'll say that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was consistent, like what Matt said before, I thought it was kind of consistently slow and not a lot happened. It took a long time for stuff to happen.
I
was kind of getting a little bit bored. I was like, fuck, can something just happen already?
I kind of had the opposite experience where I felt like I had like a lot of little head cannons going at the same time. Like different bits and clues and pieces of this movie. I guess from sort of like outside of that, not thinking about like, oh, does this actually mean this or does this actually mean this? Maybe it's like, yeah, a little bit slow, but I didn't really have any pacing problems. And I had a lot of thoughts about this movie. I liked this movie quite a bit.
Mm.
And I took 7 pages of notes.
Yeah, there was let me count two. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I took 5, which is actually pretty standard.
But yeah, that's
I was being pretty sparing with the notes.
Mm-hmm.
There's like what I said, I feel like a lot happened, but like not a lot happened.
Yeah.
It's a lot of talking in this movie, obviously. It's between the mother and the daughter. And then, you know, things happen. Things transpire.
Yeah.
Let's get into
this plot. Yeah.
Let's talk about it. You want to kick us off?
Yeah. So we sort of open up on this repopulation facility. And it's talking about like this extinction event that's taking place, and they say, you know, it's been one day since the extinction event, and at this facility there's currently 0 humans, and they've got 63,000, I think it was, like incubating people or fetuses or whatever you want to call it.
Or embryos or something.
Yeah. You see this robot that's walking around the facility, and they sort of grab this embryo from like the stock or whatever, and they insert it into this little sphere thing. And basically it's like a little like pregnancy sphere. Like it takes a baby to a full term in 24 hours, which is pretty crazy.
They cooked that baby like microwavable popcorn.
Yeah.
that was one of my notes.
Yeah.
Yeah, just pop it in there. It's just done tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. And then we have like this little bit of a like growing up montage for this baby that's born, so the robot's taking care of it and acting like a mother figure, and you know, it grows up to be toddler and it's like reading it bedtime stories and stuff, and raising this baby. And then you know, we get to this kid gets to like adolescence and starts learning a little bit about like the world on the outside, saying that you know, there was some wars that were going on, and that caused extinction event. That's what she was like learning from mother. And this little girl, she's referred to as daughter. So like the two characters that you meet at first is daughter and mother, and they don't really have any other names besides that.
I think there was something, sorry to interrupt, I think there was something there about no names being mentioned at all, because like when there's names involved, it's sort of a bit more emotional. And then I think just by having the robot as an emotionless entity, as they naturally are, not giving her daughter a name, there's something there. Not quite sure there, but there's something there.
Mm.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so the little girl's growing up, and she talks about how, you know, she thinks it would be cool to have siblings, and they have like a little bit of a like a walking tour through the part of the facility that's got all their embryos. And robot talks about how like, yeah, these are all like your brothers and sisters, and when the time's right, you know, we'll grow our family together. And we have a little bit of a time jump, and this is where we get the 13,000 days thing. So yeah, daughter looks as if she's like 16 or 17 at this point.
I don't know if you guys, sorry to cut you off, I got a note here, and I cannot read it because my handwriting is terrible. Mm-hmm. After the 13,000 days things, I've got the note, peel baby now.
Peel baby now.
Peel baby now. Can you guys help me figure out what that means?
Was it like feel baby now? And was it like a song that was like in the background or something?
I don't know. Real baby now? Who knows? Sorry. Anyways, I think this is like the kid's like grown up now, and like she just like helps the mother. She's like helping fix the robo mum.
Yeah, so like
I had something similar where it was the robot was showing wear and tear, and now the daughter has been trained to like fix her mum. And I guess that sort of happens when kids grow up, is that their parents do get older, they do start to need taking care of, so then that sort of that dynamic is still there.
Yeah, I've got that as well, like robot needs a bit of maintenance, and girl's a teenager and helps fix the robot.
So the kid's being like taught stuff as well, so she's obviously getting an education down here.
I think
getting that robot education.
Yeah, it seems like she's getting like that sort of like maintenance, and that might just be like a passive thing, maybe not like an active thing, like maybe she just like wants to help and mend mother. So that could be like, because she gets a little bit technical later on in the movie as well, and it's pretty familiar with like the hand tech that mother has. But yeah, I've got girl likes to dance. I don't know how good that
it kind of doesn't come up again after this.
But it's mother,
like, for one thing of entertainment, one recreational activity between studying to be the next fucking genius, robot genius.
I think it's sort of going in a different direction there, like not necessarily wanting to be a genius. And it kind of goes into my note I've got here, where like mother runs daughter through the like the one of those like morality questions, like
you
know, would you kill one person to save five people? And
it's kind of like that take on the railroad one.
They're
a bit different, but along the same lines.
They use the analogy of like if someone's like terminally ill but they have good organs, and there's like five other people and they're terminally ill and they need healthy organs, if like a lack of action lets that one person with all the healthy organs die and it saves like the five people, like is that the right thing to do? And daughter's like, oh, you know, what if they're not good people? you know, what if that one person goes on to help like way more people, and the five people there like aren't necessarily good people. So you can see like there's a little bit of like morality grooming going on here between like mother and daughter, and like how mother's sort of like testing daughter to be like a good person, because that we learn a little bit later on that like that was the plan all along. Like mother's just trying to create new humans that have like good morals and aren't self-destructive.
And you kind of find out here too that she's like been a bit spacey lately. Like she's like, the mother asks her, it's like, did you read your book or whatever, and she's like, yeah, I read some of it. Like, she's been paying a little bit less attention.
Yeah.
Not as studious.
Yeah. Teenager stuff.
I've got the note teaching cunt, because they said something. they said something like, I think it was Kant.
Yeah,
like,
Kant.
Like they reading Kant, like an author or something. But it sounded like cunt. So it kind of was funny to me that they were like teaching cunt, like how to serve.
Yeah, I mean, that outfit that she's constantly wearing, those red pajamas, those are serving cunt. Yeah,
that's definitely serving cunt. For sure.
Yeah, he's a German philosopher.
Yeah, Emmanuel.
And then I think there's a bit of a jump after this. Not like a huge jump, like maybe a couple of hours later. It's like bedtime. And like, I think she's settling for the night, and then something goes wrong with the power, I think. So all the lights turn off.
Yeah.
And then she's, you know, gone to investigate. She's got like a flashlight in hand, walking around the complex. I don't know what you would really call it, the base, the headquarters, whatever you would call this place, the sanctuary.
I called it a facility, like repopulation facility.
Facility. So she sees something moving around. She's like, ooh. And she kind of sets like a trap for it with like a glass bottle and like sugar. I don't know what was in there. It looked like sugar or it looked like sand. Yeah, I'm just going to assume it was sugar or like breadcrumbs or something.
Yeah, I would assume like cookie crumbs or something.
Yeah, and then in the meantime, while she's waiting for the mouse, she's like doing some handiwork, flipping the power back on, trying to figure out what's wrong. And then, she catches the mouse. And then she goes to show mother. She's like, there, I found this. Oh, her mother's like, why was the power off? And she's like, And she's like, yeah, I found this. And the mother's like, oh, how'd this get in here? And then, she grabs it and she's like, ooh, this could be bad. This could contaminate you. This gives it a big risk. And then she fucking burns it. She puts it in one of those, what's it called? An incinerator.
Gives it the granddad fucking treatment.
Yeah, just absolutely cremates this mouse. Bit overkill, but you know, can't be too safe, I guess.
One thing that I thought was going to come up a bit more often is the way that she repaired the electrical work is she just put like the two plugs, like the male and female adapter together. I thought that that was going to be like a bit where she was going to constantly go back to unplug the power so that she could have some freedom from mother to walk the facility and stuff. But then that just went out of nowhere, and I'm just thinking, well, I don't know. It seems like a bit of a waste.
I had the same kind of thought, like maybe she's going to turn off the power so she can do stuff without mother knowing, because, you know, she's a rebellious teenager now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And this is, so after the mother burns the mouse, this is where you get kind of clued on, like, this extinction event, stuff's contaminated out there, harmful pathogens. They don't really tell you what it is, hazardous substances. So, the mother, proceeds to decontaminate stuff. The fucking daughter's a bit, troubled that the mother just burnt the living creature with, like, no remorse. She's like, it's got to be done. And then, yeah, you know,
sort of questions Robo-Mum. The seriousness of it as well.
Robo-Mum tries to cheer her up with a joke. I don't remember what the joke was.
It's such a mum joke. It's just like, I'm surprised you found the laundry where it was. And it was like,
Yeah. So I got into, I thought you forgot where the laundry was. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she put her PJs in the laundry for contamination. But then you find out she just fucking burned her PJs.
Yeah, in the next shot. It's her birthday. You see, like, her origami and stuff. Obviously, she's gotten older, and it's one of her practices. Origami's way better.
That's what I was going to say before. It was like, at the start, you get to see the mum teaching the daughter origami, and the mum's, like, going nuts, folding these awesome, awesome fucking turtles. And then you turn around to the daughter, and she's made just, like, this crumpled-up piece of shit.
Yeah, absolutely flexing on the daughter.
Like, I'm surprised the mum didn't throw the daughter in the incinerator then.
For her birthday, she just gets another set of pajamas, which is like kind of a shit gift because, like, also it's like kind of nice, also kind of shit that, like, you couldn't just replace these and give me something else.
Like getting like, socks on your birthday.
I feel like that would be better because it's not like you burned my other socks and then gave me the same socks. Like, I would be like, okay, thanks for replacing the socks and not giving me an actual present, I guess. I just thought that was kind of shitty of mother.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a real parent gift, though, right? Like, oh, you needed this thing, so I got it for you. Whereas, like,
I got no problem with that, but it's, she only needed that thing because she burnt the other one.
Yeah, like, what were you going to get me if you didn't burn my PJs the day before?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Got out of that one. She just didn't have a gift ready.
She just went to the gift cupboard. She didn't even go to the shop.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, but then, you can kind of see that the young woman is pretty troubled. She's, like, maybe thinking of her mind's in a different place. Like, maybe she's thinking of the outside.
Yeah, she's like
about other humans.
She also like questions the contamination readings as well. Like she wants to see them. And at this point, I got like a little bit of a hint of like I wrote robot gaslighting. Is mother gaslighting daughter?
Yeah, the
right
robot's
now?
Very manipulative, narcissist gaslighter.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she's like she kind of questions her. She's like, I've never been wrong. Don't you trust me? She kind of, you can hear in her tone too, she kind of gets a bit more aggressive, a little bit. Yes. Like she's...
Listen to you, shit. It's such a mum thing though, like you question your mum and it's just like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm such the worst mother in the world. And it's like, oh my goodness.
Yeah, mum gets a bit semi-aggro. And then the power's kind of weird again, so this is a jump a little bit forward. The power kind of gets weird again, but, you know, there's no real reason for it. You don't really see anything why it's kind of weird. But, yeah, for some reason, the daughter's going to investigate the door because she hears something.
Yeah, there's knocking at the door.
Yeah. And then, she's, like, talking to this woman. This woman's like, oh, I've been... Let me in. Let me in!
Can I share a note that I... Like, I was, like, taking down notes of, like, the plot and stuff, and then I interrupted my notes with, like, a little bit of, like, a thought. And my thought was, what if this daughter isn't the first daughter?
Yeah. As soon as I... You know, my first thought, actually, when you see the lady outside, is that that's her real mother, but I'm like, wait, no. Because they look kind of similar.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
They look kind of similar. So I'm like, oh, maybe they're related or something. But then I'm like, oh, no, that's probably not the case because she's a little fucking embryo. Sphere baby. Born in a sphere. But yeah, then, you know, they talk to the lady. She's like, all right, I'll let you in. But she's like kind of, she's still scared of the outside, obviously. So she's like prepping. She puts like this hazmat suit on. And she goes, she opens the door and then, like, oh no, she gets prepped first before she opens the door, eh? Before she goes and talks to her, she puts the hazmat suit on.
Yeah.
And then she goes and talks to her. So she, like, closes the main door and opens the outside one, like, this airlock, and lets her in, and then she kind of traps her in there. And then because the outside door opens and sets off an alarm, you see the mother running. It's pretty goofy. It looks pretty funny. It's like, it kind of reminds me of like the Boston Dynamics things, but like way, way goofier. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, mother's come to investigate.
Whenever I see things like that, I just instantly know that Alex is gonna love it. Like, oh, he's gonna fucking love this. This is goofy as hell.
I heard you laughing. Like, well, I had to mute myself. I could hear you laughing. where are you up to? Oh, yeah. So she lets the woman in. She's like, you gotta put on that suit and you need to hide because mother's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And then mother arrives and she kind of starts scolding her. She's like, yeah, you, why would you open the door? Don't do that. She's like, oh, I'm sorry, it might happen again. She's like, no, it won't. So it's a bit ominous, a bit of an ominous threat. Like, are you going to take her privileges away? Are you going to imprison her? Or is that just like,
yeah,
no, you won't do that again because I read...
Well, you it might be a little bit more sinister now with hindsight.
Yeah, definitely. Well, it does. There is like a bit of an awkward pause afterwards. So I kind of got a weird feeling after that.
I wrote, teenage girls, am I right?
Yeah, so because she, you know, has been a bit of a naughty girl, she's like, well, since you don't want to sleep, you can go do your exam.
Mm-hmm.
And then she's like, what are you going to do? She's like, I'm going to go to the lab and then I'm going to check the airlock. And this was just pretty bad because the woman's in there. She's still in the airlock. So, yeah. So she's in there. She's about to do the exam. Mother goes to the lab, do her own thing, you know? So, fucking daughter runs to the airlock while mother's not looking. She checks on her. She goes through her belongings a little bit and sees she has a gun. And she's like, she wakes her up because she's passed out because obviously she's like pretty weak and bleeding. She's like, all right, you gotta come with me. But so they go to a place. She kind of hides her. Well, after she helps her a little bit, she's like, you gotta stay here, I'll go get some stuff to help to, you know, patch you up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, mother comes to the airlock and she sees that there's a gas mask on the ground, so she's kind of clued on. She's like, uh-oh. Well, that's what you think. You're like, uh-oh, mother knows. So yeah, daughter's in the infirmary grabbing shit. She drops a bunch of shit like a fucking idiot and she cuts herself by accident.
At this point I had like a little bit of a Jimmy Neutron brain blast.
Mm-hmm.
And I, in my notes I've got, maybe the lady got shot by robots outside.
Mm.
Is it robot wars? And maybe the contamination is people.
Oh. Mm.
That then, is a brain blast.
And then my next note after that is, I was right.
I've got this note that maybe I won't say because it might be a bit way too much of a spoiler. I kind of keep reading the thing.
No, just bloody do it.
Alright, well, I've got, you know. She's cleaning up the fucking medical supplies, right?
Mm.
And then she comes back to the woman. And the woman's like, kind of, she's not in the spot that she was told to stay. And she kind of finds her and she's like, shh, there's a droid in here. And then she's like, oh no, that's just mother. She's like, that's the thing that fucking shot me. So I'm like, yeah, mother hurt the woman. So, you know.
Yeah.
That was not on purpose, but it is like, yeah.
That is what
happened.
Yeah.
So then they kind of get into like a bit of a scuffle, eh? They're like, your mother's cool. What are you being a dork for?
Yeah.
And then, then she's like, no, the mother's, I'm going to kill that thing, kind of. And then she's the lady, the girl, daughter, screams out for her. She's like, "Mother!" And then she's like, "Shh!" And she kind of holds her at gunpoint, the hand over her mouth. And then she bites her and she's like, "Mommy!" And then mother's absolutely dead sprinting again. just straight towards the thing. And the lady's shooting at mother. And then, you know, obviously it's just fucking robot, so the bullets just kind of bounce off her. I think it does a little bit of damage, but not a whole lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, she's alright. And then she's got the lady up against the wall, hand on her throat, kind of. And then the daughter's like, "Hey, chill, chill, chill." She's just scared.
Yeah.
She just held me at gunpoint, but yeah. Just a little bit, she's a little bit scared of you. We need to help her.
Yeah.
So mother's like, "Alright.
Alright, I'll help."
Yeah.
I'll do it.
I feel like I've been talking for a while. Someone else want to take over?
Yeah, so... yeah, even though mother's like, "Yeah, but I'll help you." Like, I don't... you sort of get the impression that mother doesn't want to help, but she sort of, like, plays along with it. But yeah, this lady, like, really just doesn't trust mother in, like, in any way. And then I've got the note here. Mother keeps secrets. Knows about the droids. And I lied about the toxicity levels outside. So, yeah, mother and daughter sort of get into it there about how mother lied about it. Daughter's having the realization that shit's a bit fucked outside with these, like, robot and human situation.
Yeah, things are a bit dicey.
Yeah, and then mother's like, "Oh, you know, lucky she shot me, like, here and I got shot here because, like, my CPU is, like, right here," and then points to her CPU, and I'm like, "Oh, that's going to be important later."
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Seems a bit, like, you shouldn't have that on the outside if it's such a vital component.
Yeah.
I guess it makes a little bit of sense if you need to do maintenance on it.
Yeah. But mother seems pretty chill about it. She's like, you know, "I'm happy to help this lady, and if she's got others out there that need help, I'm happy to help them too, as long as this lady is, like, nice."
Yeah, as long as she cooperates.
Yeah. And I think at this point, the lady's in the infirmary with, like, her bullet wound or whatever.
Still suffering because she won't let mother help her.
Yeah. Daughter just shows her, like, naivety, and she starts rummaging through this lady's shit.
Yeah, yeah, I've got the literal note, rifles through her shit.
Yeah, she's just got, like, no concept of, like, personal privacy belongings and privacy and stuff. So she's, like, flipping through all, like, these items and this book. It's got a bunch of, like, drawings all over it. They're just, like, portraits of people that you assume that this lady knows.
Now, the interesting... Did any other of you other guys pick up on that, the title of the book?
No.
No, well, it's...
that was the title.
So, the actual book is The Gods of Mars, and it's... That particular one is, like, the second book in a series, and the first book of that one is Princess of Mars, which is John Carter, if you guys ever seen the movie John Carter.
Oh
yeah.
Dude, movie's like a memory locked into my head.
So it was sort of like an intertextual reference that they've sort of put in there, The Gods of Mars. The actual author itself was, he was quite into eugenics, and I wonder if they put that book, if they put that book in there as a plant for, you know, what we figure out later on in the movie.
Yeah.
Definitely, I think so.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a nice little find, nice little spot there.
Ooh, it's a science fiction book. Like, it's a good read. If you take away all of the, I suppose, the bits about the author that might not be that might be cancelled lately, but
I'm never gonna look at John Carter the same.
Yeah.
Just
a bit of eugenics. Yeah. Very good pick up there, Matthew.
Well, thank you.
Bit of food for thought, right?
Yeah. So, bloody daughter, she's like, "Oh, I like these drawings," and goes to chat to the lady about it. She's like, "Oh, who are these? All these people in this book?" And this lady gets fucking pissed off at this and, like, accuses daughter of, like, trapping her in the facility on purpose, like, as if daughter and mother are in cahoots together. So nobody trusts anybody at this point. The other people that sort of trust each other are mother and daughter, but you feel like that trust is starting to, like, break down. Yeah.
Just every moment that trust crumbles a little more as the daughter gets a little bit more clued on as to what's actually going on.
Yeah.
And there's this kind of dynamic between mother and the woman where the daughter is, like, being tugged back and forth, being fed different things, and she just needs to do her own research, I guess, to figure out who's telling the truth.
Well, like, when you're a teenager, you're super impressionable, so, like, you've got two let's say parental figures saying, like, completely, like, contrasting things. Like, it's very easy to see how, you know, she would get swept up on this because, like, we're looking at it from her perspective as well. And we don't know what the truth is either. So, like, we're also being tugged in these different directions and we don't know who to trust, either. The only person we can trust as the audience, is daughter, because, like, we're sort of, like, embodying her, throughout this movie. So this lady, she starts to go into a bit more detail about, like, the outside world and how bad the robots actually are, and she goes into sort of graphic detail about how, like, they're just, like, sort of ruthless to the point where, like, they even, like, I think she said, like, torch babies and stuff.
Yeah, like, burning babies. Like, yeah. Like, mother burned that baby mouse.
Yeah, which gives, like, huge sort of, like, Holocaust vibes as well. I don't know if you ever read Night by Elie Wiesel.
No.
I don't know how to say it. But, like, there's a bit in that book where, like, he's in his hometown and some people come from the next town over and they, like, give these warnings about, like, the Nazis, like, moving across Europe or whatever, and they come over and they use, like, babies as shooting practice, and and they're like, oh, that's completely, like, absurd. Like, they sort of just brush this person off because, like, those claims are so outrageous and they don't know who they are. And then, you know, they sort, like, over time they start to, you know, lose their rights, as you know, with World War II and Holocaust and
kind of leaning back on that eugenics,
all that thing. Stuff. So yeah, that sort of, like, pricked up in my mind there. I might be remembering that wrong as well. I'm sorry.
No, that's
if you're
sounds...
listening to this. If you're listening to this and I've just, like, completely misquoted it, I read that book when I was, like, 15. It's been a long time.
That is intense. Shooting babies, target practice on the baby. Yeah. Fuck today. That's nuts.
Yeah. Pretty messed up. Sorry, Matt, I didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no, I was just saying that sounds about right, because typically in World War II, like, people would talk about, because, you know, information wasn't as easily spread back then, they would be like, oh, the Nazis are committing all these atrocities and that. And it's like, nah, they're not, because that's not humanly possible. But then you figure out that it was actually humanly possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, just doing absolutely awful, awful things.
Yeah. While the lady's given this exposition, telling her that, you know, these droids burn babies, mother's just cooking up in the lab. She's doing some repairs on herself, I think.
Yeah.
She's been obviously been fucking shot by a shotgun or whatever the thing was. The woman's gun.
Yeah. At this point I got, like, huge Sarah Connor vibes from this lady as well.
You,
like,
know what?
A lot of different things sort of popped up in my brain, for this. Like, it sort of, like, Terminator 2.
I got the exact same Judgment thought Day. Of the Sarah Connor thing.
Yeah.
That's nuts that you'd bring that up, because I didn't know why that came to mind.
Yeah, just it really reminded me of Judgment Day and, like, her sort of demeanor towards like the Terminator.
Mm.
In Terminator 2. And to the point where I started referring to her as Connor and not just like some lady. So from now on, all of my notes, if I say Connor, I mean the lady. Her name is Connor from now on.
Works for me.
Yeah. It's
easier than calling her the woman because you've got three female protagonists or one antagonist, and it's kind of hard. I've got her and she in my notes so much that it was a bit hard to take to remember what the fuck is going on and who's doing what.
Yeah, I wrote daughter so many times that I don't think I think I spelt it wrong like so many times because I was just like rushing through. It's probably like Dagter.
Dagter. Yeah, I got sick of writing it, so I just started writing girl, I think.
But yeah, Connor points out something interesting here where she says like the ones outside look exactly the same as mother. Like you sort of have this image at their head in your head when she's talking about them before, like, oh yeah, but that's not mother, like there's probably some different sort of robots outside, and you sort of get like a different picture in your head, and she's like, no, they look exactly the same.
Yeah,
I think there's a little bit of a time jump here.
I think so. You see the lady is in like really bad shape, right?
Yeah, her wound is septic now. The bullet and like the cloth fibers have like been like in her abdomen for too long to the point where it's like it's infected. And she got some antibiotics from mother, but because she didn't trust her, she didn't take them straight away, and they like weren't as effective. And it's gotten to the point where, she needs to like be operated on, but she won't let mother touch her or come near her. So daughter, offers to remove the bullet. Cause she's been, I think earlier in the movie, they mentioned something about like, daughter becoming like a surgeon or a doctor or something like that. But Connor's still pretty paranoid, refuses to go under, so...
Yeah, she's awake for this whole procedure, and the procedure's pretty, you know, looks like it would fucking hurt.
Yeah, they basically need to stick this, like, long-ass tool in there. It's like a drill, and they need to drill into the bullet and then pull it out, like, that way, because they can't get the forceps or whatever around the bullet without doing more damage to like her internal organs or whatever.
Pretty nuts.
And bloody daughter nails it. She's a whiz surgeon.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd hate to play her in operation.
Oh yeah, for sure. I've never played operation in my life.
Yeah, good. Keep it that way.
Yeah, I'm looking at that Simpsons operation set up on the top of the closet.
You didn't have that.
Matthew, the things I've done to that Simpsons operation.
Should we get into some of your notes, Matt? I know you took some notes as well.
Yeah.
Did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
Look, I don't know if I'd be able to keep up in the same like chronological order that you guys are. But let's see what I've got. So
that's okay because we're nearing an hour.
I mean the movie was 2 hours, so yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, so let's fast track it then. It says here where is it? I'm just trying to read that writing. right. I was convinced that the outsider might just be like an anti-vaxxer because she brings up the point of like so when she first comes into the door, right, the daughter is like, hey, you need to put this on because the outside world is contagious, and she's like, who told you that? And it's just instantly ingrained in my mind that it was like, nah, this is an anti-vaxxer, doesn't believe that there's any like pathogens or anything out there despite there being an extinction happening. And it's a little too close to COVID for me, so
yeah.
And she refuses to take that needle.
Yeah, and she refused to take the needle. She didn't want to go under anesthesia. She didn't want like a robot to help her. Like, yeah.
Yeah, she's definitely bloody robots away now that you frame from it like that.
Okay, yeah, so
she's just, can't get with the times.
Yeah, yeah. So essentially what happens is the bullet comes out. The mother takes away the bullet and all the stuff. Fast forward, we shoot to the outsider being in the room, waking up after surgery, the daughter being in there. They start to discuss some things like the outsider's like, hey, maybe, like, why do you trust mother and all of that? And they get into the nitty-gritty of that. The daughter then leaves that room to go speak with mother because she has to go do an exam or something like that. And mother makes a note that the bullet looks different, or is a different caliber to the bullet that was... No, it's the same caliber bullet that was fired from the gun that the outsider has. So we start to think, okay, did the outsider shoot themselves to get into the vault? Or did humans attack this other person? So mother's like sowing the seeds of doubt into the daughter. So the daughter goes back, stands outside the surgery door and was like, blah, 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 this is what mother has said. And then the anti-vaxxer, again, is just like, did you do your research? Did you actually...
read the papers.
Yeah, read the... Yeah, did you actually go and look at the bullets yourself?
Fake news.
Fake news. So then the daughter goes to look at the bullets and they are actually a different caliber. And it's because the human had said, no, the droids have a different gun or whatever. So then the daughter is like, all right, let me just have a little bit of more squiz, like delve deep into everything. So then she grabs mother's old hand that she took off, and the way mother used to open everything and control everything that was locked away from the child is...
Oh, hold on. Before that, it is a little bit important that, you know, because she did the test and she did really well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, all right, you get a reward. You get to choose the next member of our family.
I totally forgot about that. That's the most important part.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a couple of little bits and pieces in here as well that we've quickly skipped over. But yeah, I was just going to circle back to them after you finish anyway.
Let's circle back because we need to get to that before we can get to the rest of my notes.
So post surgery, Connor and our daughter are talking in the room, and their fucking daughter whips out the iPad.
She's an iPad kid.
They're playing with the iPad and they're chowing down, and you know Connor's having like the best food of her life because she hasn't eaten anything like this in God knows how long. And this I didn't write this down in my notes because I didn't think it was important, but it sort of like stuck out to me now in hindsight, where like daughter's like, oh, have you ever seen this, like the Tonight Show or whatever, have you ever seen this before? And Connor's like, oh yeah, not for a long time. But yeah, like they start having like a little bit of bonding time, and then Connor's talks about how she lives in these mines, and she was on a supply run with her brother Jacob when she got shot, and Jacob sort of like lured the robots away, and that's how she was able to like come up to the door and ask for help and stuff. And they just sort of go through like each of the drawings, and they start talking about like who's who. Then she says like it's safer in the mines, and invites daughter to like come with her to the mines.
That's before she is talking about the bullet.
Yeah, before all the bullet stuff. Mother gets really stern, and she's like, fucking caliber of the bullets thing that you were saying before. And then she's like, no more infirmary hangs. Like, you can't hang out in the infirmary anymore.
Yeah, go do your test, little bitch.
Yeah, do some exams. And then mother takes like the belongings and starts like investigating all of the belongings as well, like Connor's shit. And then, yeah, like you were saying, mother sort of rewards daughter for the exam stuff by saying you can choose the next sibling. And I wrote, like, is this sort of like manipulation? Like, did mother do this on purpose to keep daughter around because like little bro is incoming?
Yeah,
certainly seems that way. Like, we got a new member of the family now, you need to be really present.
Yeah, like trying to get her to stay, like giving her something that she's wanted for a long time, and she's sort of like been stringing her along for a while.
I wonder if that was another morality test, because just to see if the daughter was excited or not, because when most, like, I'm going to say half of the kids out there that do want a child, they do then become, like, they, how do I put it? They're excited for the child, but then they hate that they don't get the same amount of attention. I wonder if that was another morality check to be like, do you want to choose your next sibling? And it was like a test to see what sex they may choose, if they were actually excited to choose the child, or if it was a chore.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, definitely could have been like more tests. I feel like a lot of things that mother does say tests.
No pressure, like it doesn't matter which one you pick, but then, you know, as you find out later, maybe it really did matter.
Yeah. And while this is happening, Connor's getting fucking shifty and she's like slamming the tiles or something, like in the infirmary. Yeah,
she's using something to break off something, like a sharp piece of ceramic or wood.
And she sort of like stashes that and uses makes that a little bit later. Makes a
prison shank.
Yeah, ready to fucking shank some bitches.
Yeah, for sure. And then you kind of get that scene after she puts the baby in the sphere. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they get the mother-daughter moment, and then, she's like, bullet, what happened? Yeah. And she's like, did you see the bullet? And then, she gets the hand, and she investigates the bullets.
Mm.
And then, because she's got all this agency to, you know, look at whatever she wants, she decides to look at some other stuff that she was not intended to see. So she sees, like, the fetus. She looks at the fetuses.
Yeah.
She sees that she is number 3. The others are failures, and she goes and looks at their test scores, and, you know, she goes to the incinerator. She's rifling around through all the ashes, and then she turns the little exam thing over and sees, you know, aborted fetus. The fetus was fully grown. It's just like a 3-4-year-old child, and she's digging around in there, and she finds a human jaw, and she kind of just breaks down. And then, so she knows, and the lady was right all along. Mother is bad.
My notes there were, humans that fail tests seem to disappear, and then in all capitals, oh man, liar, liar, sets babies on fire.
Sets babies on fire. So she goes to talk to the woman, and she's like, we gotta go. And then she's like, I'm not leaving him without baby bro, little baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, like, we gotta wait. And then
because like they're still in that 24-hour like incubation period or whatever.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's not really much else in between that. She's just like trying to get on with the plan. So she goes to the little baby cooker place. Mm-hmm. She's like, wants to mix up some formula because the baby boy is going to be done any second.
Or, you know.
She's sort of grabbing like supplies to run away.
Yeah. Yeah. Mother comes in. And it's sort of like this tense scene where, like, mother's, like, asking questions that you know she's got the answers to. And I thought this a little bit earlier when Connor was, like, septic, mother was like, oh, yeah, your bloody temperature's 39. Like, you're struggling over here. You've gone septic.
Yeah.
And at this point, I was like, well,
you look like you're in really bad shape right now.
I'm like, well, if she can detect temperature, she can probably like detect heartbeats and stuff. And sure enough, mother's like, oh, you know, your anxiety levels are like through the roof right now. Like feeling a bit anxious. And yeah, bit of tension there, and that you sort of get the feeling like mother knows that daughter is lying.
Yeah, the daughter does not do a good job of covering it up. She's like fucking shaking and shit. She's like, oh, I'm just really excited for the baby.
Yeah.
But she's like tweaking out. She's like fucking shaking and just rushing, and it's not like her normally, so obviously it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with her.
Yeah.
Which, you know, you find out your mother likes to burn babies, so you probably wouldn't react very well either, but...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, now that I think about it, I think you're right.
Yeah, but, you know, mother knows. She does.
Mother knows best.
Mother knows best, so she kind of walks out the room, and then, but it's a little bit too late. She's like, Mama, where are you going? And then she locks the door on her. And then she's like, oh, Mommy, let me out. And you kind of get this scene where she's just banging on the door, and Mother's walking to the woman's room or the infirmary.
Connor.
Yeah, Connor's walking. No, Mother's walking to Connor's room. And you know, you get this scene where she pulls out like this liquid nitrogen tank, and she's trying to smash the door with it, because it's like a glass sliding kind of science door. I don't know what you'd call it. Like a reinforced fucking
glass door. It just looks like the supermarket, like clear glass
doors. Yeah, right? But it's probably like, it's obviously industrial like reinforced strength. Yeah, fucking double plated fucking, I'm trying to think of the word, but I can't figure it out, so whatever. And then, yeah, she gets the brilliant idea. I did actually like this scene where she just sprays the door with liquid nitrogen to freeze it so she can smash it.
Mm-hmm.
So she's doing that. Mother's in the room now with Connor, and she's kind of talking her shit. She's like, yeah, you could have gotten out of here fine. You still can if you fucking be a good girl or whatever.
If it weren't for you meddling kids, I would have gotten away with it.
And then, you know, the lady attacks Mother. She kind of, you know, she's not very accurate with her stabs. She's kind of just stabbing metal with a piece of ceramic, and then she finally lands a good hit on like some like little tube, and liquid starts coming out of Mother. She starts bugging out, you know, the thing where robots kind of repeat what they say, it's all broken and shit. You know, because Mother's a fucking robot, she's obviously way stronger than just a human, so she just pins her up against the wall, just like, where's the minds? Where are they? Yeah.
She like tortures Connor.
Yeah.
Like she does. She gets a little dirty robot finger and puts it in the bullet hole as well.
Oh, I missed that.
And twists it to try and like torture Connor and get more information out of it. And you're like, oh, okay. Okay.
Ooh, that's brutal. I did not see that. But yeah, the daughter breaks out, so Mother's like, well, I gotta take care of this first.
And then she sets off like a fire alarm or something like that.
Yeah. And then the woman is like, just starts ripping out random wires. like apparently these are connected to the lights, so some of the lights start going all fucky, which, you know, I don't know why she did that. She could have not done that and just, you know, got her shit together and left, because time is of the essence. I don't know why ripping wires out and turning the lights off is going to do to a robot who can probably see in the dark. But anyways.
I think it's like those people that burgle houses and spread poo on the walls. It's just to inconvenience. It's just to inconvenience people.
I've never heard of this before. It's just a thing that people do. That's horrible. I'd rather they just... You know, obviously, being burgled sucks, but spreading poo on the wall is just too much.
Yeah, a little bit.
I mean, you really hate someone just fucking spread shit on the wall.
Other than that, you're just trying some new artistic flair that no one's going for.
Yeah.
But yeah, they link up, the Connor and daughter. They find each other before Mother finds them, but they can't get out because the door is in emergency override, so the code doesn't work. And then Mother's like, all right, gotcha. And then Thingo, Connor takes, hold on, just farted.
Nice.
Connor takes daughter hostage, and then she says, open the door. I don't know if you've seen that meme where someone is impersonating Walter Jr. from Breaking Bad, and yes, he goes, open the door! But that's all I could think about when she said, open the door! Yeah. She says, open the door, and then they leave, because obviously mother still cares about daughter.
Yeah, and mother's like guilt-tripping daughter like the entire time. Yeah. And Connor like takes daughter hostage as well. Like she's got the little ceramic thing to her neck as well. Like
She's sort of shank to her throat.
Yeah, forcing mother to open the doors. So yeah, we like now we get to see like outside for the first time, and we see it through daughter as well. So like there's like these bare like trees or like sort of stalks, and there's black sand everywhere.
Yeah, everything's burnt to a fucking crisp.
Yeah. And yeah, daughter's like, what the fuck, bro? Like that hurt, like you cut my neck, like what are you doing? And she's yeah, sorry. Yeah, didn't mean it. All right, yeah, let's go to the mines.
Yeah, they have a little scuffle. Like,
yeah,
they like kind of throw hands a little bit, but not really. But kind of, they do.
Don't they just lap each other, like, for about 30 seconds? It was just exchanging slaps.
I don't know. Not yet. Not yet.
Oh.
So like, there's like this. They're like walking outside. And they're walking towards the like. There's like these crops. In the distance.
It's corn. It's always fucking corn in these type corn of movies.
Yeah.
The corn is very hardy also, but also not, because isn't it like dying or something? Corn is getting, I don't know.
No, that's Interstellar.
Disregard that. No, no. That's not what I mean. Like, isn't corn getting like more and like harder and harder to grow or something? Or is it like the most resistant one?
I thought corn along with wheat was one of the first GMOs, and that's probably why they've chosen corn outside. Like another artificial thing to add to this natural world.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, that makes sense. Actually,
I think I'm just spreading information, misinformation.
That's a nice little touch. If that's true.
Tips Fedora.
Well, actually.
So yeah, they're walking outside on the black sand, and then like this flying machine sort of like comes up behind
them.
Kind
of looks like a giant pelican from Halo. Is that what they call
it? Yeah. And they're like, oh shit. And so they like they run towards the crops, and they hide in the corn.
Can I say something real quick? I hate when movies do this.
What?
Like the fucking big thing can obviously see them because they're standing out in the open, and then they run to cover, and then they're completely fine. The big thing doesn't see them. Just in any movie, I'm like, there's no way it didn't see.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Alex. You've pointed out my least favorite part of this movie.
This is my least favorite part too.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. You know what they say.
Big feet.
Yep.
So anyway, they're in the crops, and I wrote the note like, whose bloody crops are these?
Funny you ask that, actually, because you get the next shot.
Yeah.
It's like a big pan out, and you see it's like this giant fucking industrial robo complex with like these huge cornfields with like these like massive propagators like
kind
of tending to the crops. They're huge, and then you've got this fuck off massive monolith. It's like it's like the robo base, robo headquarters. I don't know what they're doing there, but it's huge, and it's kind of cool, honestly.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool.
I thought that was cool.
So yeah, like they're in this crop field, and daughter does some like naive kid shit, where like she climbs up onto the, like this broken down harvester or whatever that's like in the middle of the rows because she wants to like have a look at this like big monolith thing a little bit better. And Connor freaks out. She's like, "What are you doing? Get down from there!" Like real sort of like another mother daughter like moment. I thought that was like an interesting little bit there. And then we just have like a couple of firsts for daughter. Like she has her first like beach moment. Like she's just sitting on the beach and looking out at the waves and stuff.
Stepping
and,
on the beach.
Yeah. And we have like this reveal that because there's a bunch of shipping containers all over the beach, and the reveal is that like this is where Connor lives, and that she doesn't actually live in the mines anymore. She's just been living in this shipping container with her dog. And she confesses that, she hasn't been to the mines in years, and it was a bit of a hellhole. And they were doing some pretty nasty things to each other in the mines because there was no food. So daughter's like, "Well, what the fuck, dude? I want to go back now."
Yeah, she kind of regrets coming.
Yeah. And
then they have this like kind of stare off.
Yeah.
And then she just like bitch slaps her.
Yeah.
Like the daughter bitch slaps Connor and then she slaps her again.
Yeah, she just slaps the fucking shit out of
and
her.
She slaps her like 3 times, I think. Yep. And then Connor's just like, "Trust me, bro. You're right."
My shipping container that doesn't have Wi-Fi and will only consist of you eating creamed corn every single day is so much better than that facility.
Yeah.
Yep.
She's like,
there's like this mother daughter moment where she's like, "It's gonna be all right. Just trust me. This place is way better."
Yeah. And daughter's like, "Oh, well, I want to do a rescue mission. Then, like, let's go get brother." And Connor's like, "Oh, well, let's eat first, and then we'll see how we go." And so daughter goes back out onto the beach and she's playing with Doggo. And she's like, "Fuck this shit, I'm out of here."
Yeah, I'm classic mum speak, by the way, be like, "We'll see how we go." That means that means we're not doing that.
Yeah.
That means I'm gonna distract you until you forget about it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. What's that over there?
Is that my brother? Oh. Yeah, so she goes back.
Yep.
It's just like, she leaves an origami dog on the beach in the wind. Somehow doesn't fall over. It's just perfectly sitting on a log, by the way. Just wanted to point that out.
Oh, damn. I missed that.
Pardon?
I missed that. That's a really good take. Wow.
Ooh. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that was just like a nitpick. But you had some good takes. That was just silly. But she's outside the fucking facility. There's a bunch of drone droid guys out there. They're just holding her at gunpoint. You see all these lasers on her. She's like, "Let me in." And then they let her in. Which is strange. But
she's like, okay. She's like, "I want to speak to mother." And they all just step aside.
So she goes in and does she break the lock so they can't come in?
She pulls out the hoses of the
hydraulics.
There's a couple of axes, like fire axes, for in case of emergency you're gonna break down these metal doors with an axe, but there's axes there. So she grabs an axe in hand.
Yeah, the base is a bit of a mess as well. You hear baby bro crying in the distance. And daughter's sort of like freaking out. She's sneaking around the facility. What the fuck is this note?
She's also got an axe as well. to go up against this droid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like a shotgun didn't do anything, but an axe will.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it would work if she just hits the thing, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah.
Yeah, so Mother reveals, like, she's like, I'm glad you're back. Like, daughter's trying to, like, sneak around and sneak up to Mother. Like, you know, Mother knows she's there, like, the entire time.
Yeah.
And we sort of get into the bit where Mother... Mother says, like, the extinction event was, it's related to, like, the droids. Like, the droids were the extinction event because they were basically humans were destroying themselves and they were just, like, speeding up the process.
Yeah, she basically wants to be, like, robo-god because she's asking her why she did it. And she's like, oh, the humans are so self-destructive. So I just wanted to, you know, elevate.
Yeah, and yeah, the plan was to raise some new, like, good humans with morals and everything.
Yeah, a better society. It's kind of like the, it's kind of like the understandable villain. Like, you know, humanity sucks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to tear it all down and build it back up better this time because I'm a robot.
Well, yeah, and she said it was inevitable anyway. Like,
yeah,
she could see that it was going to happen. She was just speeding it up.
And I think that's where the morality question at the start comes back into play, where it's if you're willing to sacrifice life for the better of more people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's sort of done it the opposite way, where she's completely wiped the planet, but it's for the betterment of people.
Yeah, she said, like, her number one priority was, like, the well-being of humans or something like that.
Which, I guess, is not untrue, but it also kind of contradicts her actions up until this point.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we daughter's trying to get closer to Mother, and she's like, oh, I want to hold little bro. And Mother's like, well, you got to put the fucking axe down. You need two hands to hold a baby.
Mm.
So passive aggressive from a robot that can't, like, have emotion.
You gotta put the axe down, stupid.
Yeah, rightfully passive aggressive about a fucking just a dipshit teenage daughter at this point that's, like, completely rebellious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With an axe.
And this is where daughter confronts Mother about, like, the aborted children that. Yeah, she learned about and found the remains of. And she was like, yeah, man, I was just trying to make, like, the best version of you. You know? Like, I was just trying to find, like, the best version of people. And, you know, we have, like, a second reveal that... Because Mother's like, oh, you know, if you kill me, if you shoot me, right now, because I don't remember how she gets a shotgun, but she does.
Yeah, I also don't remember that.
Because she's like, she's holding little bro, and then he picks up a shotgun and is pointing it at Mother's CPU. And Mother's like, hey man, this is just like a body, like, yeah. I'm not just in, Mother isn't just this, like, Mother is all of this, and you have the reveal that, like,
she
Mother is the one Mother. That did all of it, yeah.
Everything is Mother.
Yeah.
So she kind of is like a machine god. Like, she's just all this. She's that kind of got this. She's all powerful, basically.
She's
not going away. She's this huge hive mind controlling all these little fucking soldiers and robots and stuff.
Yeah. And, like, while this is happening, like, the robots from outside. Trying to break in, like, this is huge cannon that's like, well, it's a cannon like thing, it's like lasering off, like, the bolts off the door to try and, like, break in, and daughter's just like begging, like, you know, just like, you raised me, like, I've been raised, just give me a chance, like, let me let me do what you like taught me how to do. Just like leave me be to do this mission. And Mother's like, yeah, right.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah, right. And for some reason, Daughter needs to shoot Mother to do this.
Does the mother pull the trigger or does she pull the trigger?
She pulls it. Mother moves the shotgun like back up to point at the CPU because I think she dropped it down at some point. But yeah, Daughter kills Mother and then like cries with little bro.
Firing off a shotgun in a baby's ear.
Yeah.
I thought that was a bit irresponsible.
Yeah.
Yeah, also, I didn't like that the mother was just like, okay.
Yeah.
That literally in my notes, it just says, bargaining, says she can raise baby, mother says, okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just because what I got from that is that all mothers must pass the torch, you know, because there comes a time when their babies do grow up and have their own babies, and then the mum's is like, hey, you should, you know, sort of is there, it's like, hey, you should do it this way, you should change the nappy this way, you should do it, this is the way that I did it, and then eventually the child is like, you raised me, I know how to do this, let me do this. And then I feel like the killing of the mother was sort of symbolic in that same way, where, because the mum says, you know where to find me, and she's like, I won't need to find you, like, you've raised me well to continue on your legacy, essentially.
Mm. Yeah, true.
But also, let me just say this. Watching this whole movie was just like watching Alex's villager breeder farm in Minecraft. Like, Alex built this massive facility in Minecraft to breed villagers for a specific purpose, and if they don't suit that purpose, he incinerates them.
No. I drown them. It's different.
Yeah, much better.
Yeah.
Oh my God. But
they're just taking up space. Not contributing. Actually, you know what? I'm on Mother's side now. But yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, Mother's dead. Not really.
Mother's dead.
She's the body.
Yeah,
but you know, she's fine, she's still alive, and you see that 2 seconds later when Connor is going through her bag and she finds what looks like a tracking device, and the door's kind of swinging open and banging against the cargo, the shipping container because of the wind, and then you hear the door stop hitting, and then she looks up, and then guess who's there? It's Mother. Not Mother, but one of the drones, the droids, has come to pay her a visit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think this is where we find out that she's baby number one.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as well.
It's a little bit ambiguous. I don't know if I'm just stupid, but...
Yeah, no, I got that as well. I wrote, Mother is ominous. Is Connor an escaped daughter?
Yeah, it's almost like they know each other.
Yeah, and like it makes me think
Connor's behavior up until this point very reasonable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah, and it makes me, if you remember, like when Connor's like, "Oh yeah, I remember watching this like a long time ago."
Mm.
If she
only looks about 30-ish, and I think it's only been how many years since
35 years.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so maybe she's the first one.
Yeah.
I think that tracks. That's my headcanon. I think that's what the movie's trying to say too, but...
That's really interesting because the thing that confused me a little, which I'll probably Google after this, is that if she is baby number one, she had makeshift rosary beads, like she's made the cross and the rosary beads out of like a twine, and she's seen constantly gripping it for faith or whatever. And then in the shipping container, there's a little altar, and even the mother touches the little statue of, I think, the Virgin Mary. If she is baby number one, Did Mother teach her of religion?
Religion, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Either that or like whoever raised her, like after that.
Yeah.
'Cause she said she was an orphan.
Yeah, right. Because
True, true.
the other sort of thing I got as well was like massive Paradise Lost sort of vibes from it, where the child is given, like she's not given it, but she's received a hand from Mother to access stuff that she shouldn't have, which is like all of the files and stuff. I guess you could sort of see it as like the Tree of Knowledge. The snake coming into the garden is Connor saying, you know, you should question this and question that and all of that. And even, yeah, like the religious iconography after that. And then when she's got all this information, she's then cast, not so much cast out, but she is freed from the sanctuary, which is like the Garden of Eden. And then you can see the outside is like this desolate, horrible place, and she wants to get back in.
Yeah, and you can. There's the parallel as well as the mother trying to be God itself, like trying to, you know, raise it to the ground and then create it all again in her image, which is, yeah, that's actually pretty interesting.
Was A
There's
Adam or Eve first? Was Eve first?
Now
Adam.
nah, Adam was first.
Okay.
Yeah.
There goes my theory.
That is some food for thought.
Yeah.
This movie's got a lot more iconography than I thought. And actually, it goes a bit deeper than the surface,
Like
which is
the
actually kind of changing my opinion about it. Like, it does have some pretty cool themes, but I still, it was a little bit boring at some points.
yeah, I think the only other notes I've got is that like daughter, well, like you see this scene where daughter's singing to brother and he's being a cute little baby. And then daughter walks into like the part of the facility that's got all like the like incubated children or whatever, like the embryos or whatever. And then I think that's where they roll credits.
Yeah, she becomes Teen Mum from the show Teen Mum. Yeah, so you kind of see the cycle start all over again, but you know, real person this time, I guess. So in a way, Mother got exactly what she wanted, so it doesn't really matter, which is cray cray.
Absolutely cray cray.
That movie was cray cray.
Yeah, so overall, I liked the movie.
I also liked the movie.
Yeah, I'd give it a solid, I don't know, 8 out of 10, I would say.
Well, yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll go. I was going to ask you if you wanted to go first anyway. What would
Yeah.
you rate this movie, Matt?
Oh, there we go. Oh. I'd probably definitely give it a solid 8 out of 10.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good. No, that's pretty good.
Nice, nice, nice. What
What about
about
you, Alex?
you, Brendan?
Well, I asked you first.
Well, I don't feel like we asked each other at the same time. You just finished your sentence
What
first.
about you, Matt?
I give it a solid 8 out of 10.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a nice rating. What about you, Brendan?
Ah, fuck. I also gave this an 8 out of 10.
Nice, nice, nice. I think I will give this movie. It's hard to say.
I mean, you should have had it in your head before.
I did
Like,
have it in my head. I had it, but
you gotta go with it. Like,
okay. I give this
you
movie a
can't like.
7 out of 10.
Okay. Yeah,
I
that's
was
fair.
thinking 7 pretty much the whole time, but you know, towards the end, when just talking about it more, it's helped me realize a bit more stuff about the movie. I kind of like it more, but there was points where I'm like, this movie needs to hurry along. Like, this movie needs to speed up a little bit, and stuff needs to start happening.
It's that Gen Z brain.
Yes. Also,
Yeah.
I have work tomorrow at 5 a.m. It's like
Yeah.
1 a.m. now, so I'm like, this needs to.
Nah, we can easily fit in another movie.
Yeah, I think so.
I think so too.
So, we already spoke about our least favorite parts. which was the trope of like the big machine that doesn't see the people on the ground.
Yeah.
The one that's like flying over the top.
I hate that shit so much.
Matt, did you have a least favorite part?
Look, that was the part as well. It really pissed me off because they're in sand. They could not have possibly escaped that big fucking thing. And Mother sees all. So Mother definitely saw them or saw the tracks in the ashen sand. Like, it's... I hate that trope so much. And then when they entered fucking corn as well, I was like, this is just...
That's true. You did hate the corn.
Mate. Yeah. Leading back into the notes where it says... corn, why is it always fucking corn? Underneath that is like so cliche.
It is always corn.
It is always corn.
It's weird because I think this was filmed in Australia. Like, that feels like really? A huge American thing, but I think I saw a bunch of like South Australia references, or not references in the movie, but like the production company and stuff, I think was South Australian. And then
it had Screen Australia in the titles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And bloody Rose Byrne.
Oh, mate. Love me a bit of Rose Byrne.
Yeah, we do.
I have no idea who that is.
Bloody Mother.
Yeah. So who's Rose Byrne?
She's a terrific actress. She's in Insidious. She's in a little Australian movie called Takeaway with Vince Colosimo. You guys should definitely check that. You guys should definitely check that out, your listeners.
She's like in a little known movie called Star Wars Episode 1. Oh,
yeah, Star Wars Episode, yeah.
Oh, it's her. I know her. She's very pretty.
You do now. Okay, favorite part. What is your favorite part of the movie, Alex?
I think I like it's literally the worst thing followed by the best thing, which is like the shot of just the monoliths and the big fucking machines. I thought that was cool. I thought, you know, that kind of, the kind of tone or the kind of themes that, you know, set the tone for the movie, like, you know, the background, what's become of Earth. I always like that type of shit, like, cool shit like that's cool to me because it's cool shit. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yep, just like...
cool shit.
Just visual, cool, sort of awe-inspiring...
I thought that was like pretty...
vista.
Pretty nifty. I did like the scene where she used the thing, the what's it called? Nitrous?
Yeah, that's true. You did like that bit.
I did like that bit. I thought that was... cool. I don't know why they got nitrous oxide just there, but they do. So I thought that was clever.
What about you, Matt?
I really loved the intro. Not so much like the where it says extinction level event, blah blah blah, whatever. But just seeing Mother, like, I don't know, impregnate the machine, and then see the child grow and still have a childhood. Like, I love that. I think love's a wonderful thing, and I love seeing that.
Yeah, it was very cute. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, I liked the stickers on the robot. That was cute.
Yeah, that was another cute little touch, all the little stickers to make her mother personal.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it reminded me so much of Fallout as well, like the intro to Fallout, sort of like the intro to Fallout 3, you know, where you're raised in the vault, you grow up, and then you leave.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't realize it was a vault at first. I thought it was a spaceship. I thought they're in space, like heading to a new colony or somewhere new to colonize a new planet because, you know, Earth's gone to shit. I thought that would have made sense setting. Too. I thought that was the setting initially, and then I realized it's kind of like a bunker facility, which is also cool. I also dig that.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure. Yeah, I also thought when it was like the world was hazardous, I thought the outside was going to be like, you know, when the sun is just fucking scorching hot and like the earth is just fucked. Like, it's like you're scorched earth, you know?
Yeah, like.
But that's been
Dune
done.
Dune or Mad Max, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, my favorite bit was just drawing all the little connections between like the Sarah Connor stuff and like the sort of like Holocaust like Night Elie Wiesel sort of just those sort of like tones and yeah, just how do I phrase this, just like drawing those parallels. There was
eugenics.
Yeah. Exactly.
So your favorite part about this movie was eugenics, is what you're telling me.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
God.
Yeah, I just liked all the little borrowings from certain things. I did really like certain the reveal. Figures. Yeah. The reveal of like Connor like maybe being number one.
Yeah, that was cool.
Mm-hmm. And it like explains why they look so similar.
Yeah, I like how the movie doesn't tell you everything. It kind of leaves some things ambiguous and up to you to decide.
Yeah.
Do you think this happened? Do you think that happened? Pretty nifty.
Yeah.
If I do say so myself.
Alrighty. So, this is the first time where we'll have an average score. It's three ratings, but two of the ratings are the same. So this average rating of 7.6.
Nice.
Yeah. Recurring.
Nice.
Well deserved.
Well deserved.
Yeah, I think that's fair enough.
Yeah, I think this is a solid movie. Would you guys recommend this movie?
I would recommend this movie. I don't think it's something you can always sort of just like sit down and watch. Like, you got to be in like the sort of sci-fi mood for this. So if you're looking for an interesting sci-fi movie to watch with a couple of friends, or if you're just in a sci-fi mood yourself and it's like, you know, you're just unwinding from work or something like that, you could probably watch this.
Yeah, 100%. Definitely something that you need to pay a little bit of attention to. Like, yeah, keep track of what's happening. Don't just, you know, not something to just chuck on in the background. Like, definitely give this movie a fair go.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to agree with that. What about you, Matt? Would you recommend this movie to friends?
Oh, 100%. And I was just doing a quick little Google on the Rotten Tomatoes, and our rating actually matches with the average rating of this movie, 7 out of 10.
Ooh.
Okay.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Look at that. We're bloody big for critics, aren't we? Oh, man. Our word is gospel. So don't ever forget that. If you listen to this, you fucking better listen to what we say.
This is where the people come to get the ratings and to get the recommendations, all right? They don't go to the bloody Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that's fucking right.
They come to Who Watches Us.
They come to Who Watches Us, where we watch the movies, but who watches us? Speaking of watching movies, what are we watching next week, Matthew?
Oh, no. Look. Oh, no. I want to give, like, a quick disclaimer. Whatever Matt says we have to watch, we have to watch it, like, no matter what. And he doesn't. So he can just peace out of this situation and we can just be stuck with, like, a shit movie or a long movie or...
Nah, see, I'm not going to do you guys like that. I actually thought of three movies. I chose one as a comedy, one as a serious one, and then the next one is a serious comedy. So to split the three, I'm going to go with a serious comedy for you guys. And I reckon you guys can hash it out and watch Pig with Nicolas Cage.
Ooh.
Oh, hell yeah.
I have seen that movie. That's a good movie.
I haven't.
Oh, mate, it is a good movie. I'll let you enjoy that next week, and I look forward to hearing the podcast in the following week.
What is going on with Alex's microphone? Yeah. So we're watching Pig.
Oh, yeah.
P-I-G. Alrighty, I'm keen.
Hell yeah.
So keen, and I think, Matt, you were saying you can't wait to listen to the episode.
Yeah, I can't wait to listen to that episode.
Alrighty. Well, thank you, Matt, for joining us. And
it was a pleasure. It was a pleasure to come on. Thank you for having me.
It was. It's a interesting dynamic having a guest on. So I think we're gonna continue to do that every 5 episodes. It's nice to get a little bit of variance and get just like I think Matt, you had some really good takes to sort of throw in there every now and then. So yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I loved your takes, Matt.
Yeah, super appreciative of your time, and yeah, I think this was a really good one.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Alrighty. All right. So yeah, thanks for listening to Who Watches Us, where we watch the movies. But who watches us? Who bloody watches us, mate? Who bloody watches us?
Fuck, mate.
Yeah. Yeah, right. Bloody like, subscribe, and watch it on the podcast is Spotify.
Oh my god.
What?
Who's that fucking guy behind me watching me? Oh my fuck.
That was. Bye.
Bye-bye.